This morning we will have an extended period of our meditation time in order to truly do what justice we can to the lives of people who are facing a true epidemic of violence, and that those lives are people who identify as transgender right here in the United States. So just this past year so far in 2019, going up to the end of October, 20 trans people, mostly women of color, were murdered here in the United States. And I think last year there were 24 at this time. We also know that the number of victims is actually much higher than what is reported, because a lot of families or police or even media misgender these folks in the news articles and so on. So we don't actually know that they identify as trans. That's a very common occurrence. So what I want to do this morning, in acknowledgement of Transgender Day of Remembrance coming up on the 20th, is acknowledge the lives that have been lost this year. And I will tell you, it is easy to find a lot of information about the deaths of these folks. A lot of details are available about how their lives ended. But what I wanted to do is find what I could about their lives. The people who knew them, what they said about them, the details of what they did and how they moved through the world. That's what I wanted to focus on this year. And I'll tell you, in some cases, it was like looking for a needle in a haystack. And I think that says something about our culture, the details that we choose to lift up and the pieces of people's lives that we choose to ignore. So we have a little ritual this morning where I will be sharing the names and the stories, what I was able to find about these folks. And then after we hear three stories, I'll invite the people that have roses with those names to come forward and put those roses in this blue and white vase here until eventually we have a bouquet. And as those people come forward, we'll be singing a refrain, and I'll invite Eleanor to teach us this here in this moment. And I think, Judy, if you look ahead, do we have the lyrics on the screen? And I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find.
I think we know this.
All right, we'll just hold off on that. We'll go ahead and do this verbally right now.
And I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
And you will see those lyrics when it's time to sing those pieces. So one of the reasons I think it's important to do this is while there will be many different kinds of rituals and memorials performed for these folks on Transgender Day of Remembrance, there won't be very many that will take place in a church. And certainly up to this point, for a lot of people we'll be talking about, there hasn't been in a church acknowledgement of their identities and the lives that they lived. So even though we didn't know any of these people personally, I do think it's really important to take this time to do this. So the first person that we will acknowledge is Dana Martin. Dana was 31, an African-American trans woman living in Hope Hole, an unincorporated area outside of Montgomery, Alabama. Meta Ellis and Harvey McDaniel of the LGBTQ advocacy group Montgomery Pride United said in a statement, "Dana Martin was a well-loved person in the community, and she will be greatly missed." Jazeline Ware, black trans woman in Memphis, Tennessee, age unknown. Ashanti Carmen, Those who encountered Ashanti at a DC drop-in center run by LGBTQ support group HIPS found her delightful. Staffers and trans activist Earline Budd told the Washington Blade, "She was absolutely delightful." Carmen was planning to marry Philip Williams, who told a DC TV station that his six-year relationship with her was the, quote, "most brilliant thing I've ever done in my life." Upon learning of her death, "everything just went on pause for me," he added. I now invite those who hold roses for Dana, Jazzeline, and Ashanti to please bring them forward as we sing.
And I'll bring you home when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
Claire Legato, 21 years old, of Cleveland, Ohio, was in her last moments defending her mother from the verbal and physical assault of a man. Friends and family took to social media to mourn Legato's death, remembering her as someone who was always full of life. "Love you, cousin," wrote one family member. "I'm hurt, sad, angry, all in one. Lie high." Molesha Booker, 23 years old, of Dallas, Texas. "She lived in her truth," said Preston Dupre, who described himself as a mentor to Booker. "She was honest, no matter how you took it. She had a backbone. She stood up for what she believed, period. She remained resilient," he said, "even after a highly publicized mob assault. I was saddened to see her go so soon before she blossomed into the person that I felt she was going to be." Michelle Tamika Washington also went by the name Michelle Simone. Tamika was a brilliant and outgoing member of Philadelphia's transgender community, known for her advocacy and mentorship, and she will be profoundly missed, said Amber Hikes, the executive director of Philadelphia's Office of LGBT Affairs. Washington had studied nursing at the Community College of Philadelphia. With those who hold roses for Claire, Malaysia, and Michelle, please bring them forward now to add to the vase here, and let us sing.
And I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find, and I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
Paris Cameron, 20 years old, Detroit, Michigan. Chynell Lindsay was 26 years old, from Dallas, Texas. She was a caretaker at Alpha Home Healthcare and was studying computer science at Prairie State College. Chanel Scurlock. "Rest in peace, baby," wrote a friend on Facebook. "You lived your life as you wanted. I'm proud of you for being unapologetically correct about your feelings and expectations of you." With those with roses for Paris, Chynell, and Chanel, please bring them forward to add to the vase.
And I'll bring you home when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
Zoe Spears, 23, of Fairmount Heights, Maryland, was described by activist Earline Budd, whom she'd known for 6 years, as a truly vibrant young person. Spears worked in retail and had ambitions to become a lawyer. Brooklyn Lindsay,
32 years old, of Kansas City, Missouri. Brooklyn loved doing her hair and makeup and dancing and rapping in front of the mirror. One day she wanted to be a life coach. She talked about adopting a child once she had her own apartment. Her friend Raven Johnson told BuzzFeed News that Lindsay was well known in the local LGBT community and dreamed of giving back by helping other people to transition. She was outgoing, happy-go-lucky. She always liked helping people, doing what she could. She would do anything for anybody, said Johnson. Denali Berries Stuckey, a Charleston native, worked as a manicurist. Family and friends took to social media to mourn Stuckey. I lost my best friend, first cousin, wrote one person. We were more than cousins. We were like brother and sisters. I love you so much, Pooh. With those with roses for Zoe, Brooklyn, and Denali, please bring them forward.
And I'll bring you home.
Tracy Single had an eye for fashion and an ear for music. The 22-year-old Houston transgender woman had a passion for working with clothes and dreamed of securing a job in a local resale shop. Someday she wanted to become a part of Houston's rap music scene. Marquis Kiki Fantroy. This feeling is indescribable. The pain, the void. You know that feeling after losing a child, and you losing a child for no apparent reason. Fantroy's mother, Rhonda Corner, told the Miami Herald. And my understanding was she was killed because of her desire to be a woman. Fantroy began transitioning before her teens and endured much bullying, according to Corner. The young woman loved photography and music, and hope to one day compete on RuPaul's Drag Race. Pebbles Ladime Doe. Doe's friends and family remembered her on social media as having a bright personality and being someone who showed love and who was the best to be around. Another friend wrote, "If I knew Friday was my last time seeing you, I would have hugged you even tighter." With those with roses for Tracy, Marquis, and Pebbles, please bring them forward now.
And I'll bring you hope, but hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the wintertime.
Jordan Kofer was a transgender man. He had recently been an intern for the U.S. Forest Service in Montana. Jordan was my closest friend, said a friend on Twitter. He identified with he, him pronouns to people he trusted and knew would support him. Jordan was probably one of the sweetest people you would ever meet, a true saint, but he was also very scared constantly. He tried to give the best to everyone. Bailey Reeves. She was a person who lived her life to the fullest, Bailey's brother Thomas Reeves said. She was 17. Bee Loves Slater. Until she did her transformation, she did not have the confidence, said her friend Shock Bailey. But I think once she got that, it was a whole transformation of going from one person who was like, I don't know, to somebody who is like, this is me and there is nothing anybody can do. I felt like there was no stopping her. Slater, who worked as a security guard, had hoped to travel to Atlanta for Labor Gay Day and other LGBT events. I invite those with roses for Jordan, Bailey, and Bee to bring them forward now.
And I'll bring you home.
Italy Marlowe. Marlo was a transgender woman living in the Ridgemount section of outer Houston. She was 29. Brianna B.B. Hill. She was a beloved member of her community, a fan of the Kansas City football team, and loved spreading joy by sharing funny videos on her Facebook page. So I invite those who have roses for Italy and Brianna to bring them forward, and I will also ask that if you have a rose that does not have a name attached to it, that you bring those roses forward at this time too, because there were so many, likely, trans people who died this year who were not identified as such. And we want to acknowledge them as well.
And I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
I invite you now into the spirit of reflection, acknowledgement, meditation, and prayer. On this Transgender Day of Remembrance, we remember those who have been murdered for being who they are, those who face violence on a daily basis, those who have lost loved ones, and those who worry for loved ones. May we come to a time when we cease to shame children around gender roles and expression, where we allow for freedom and exploration of identity, and a world that operates from love, especially when things are difficult and confusing. I invite you into a time of silence as we consider what that world might look like. Sometimes it can seem counterintuitive to invite more weight into our hearts and minds when our own individual lives carry so many burdens of their own. And yet it is in our connection to others that we find our ultimate wholeness as human beings. And even in the darkest of times, the chilliest of winter settings, hope is to be found. Like the beauty of a rose in the wintertime, like the beauty of a life that was ended far too soon. Let us commit to bringing those songs of love to those who are in need. Let us give and receive those roses in winter time, knowing that they are symbolic of that deep love we have for one another as human beings.
Thank you. Words by Mr. Barb Grieve, co-moderator of the Unitarian Universalist Association. For some of us, identity is an intensely personal piece of the puzzle that makes up who we are. It is the badge we carry on our sleeves and with our bodies and cannot put down. For some of us, we have not yet had to think about how we would identify ourselves and our bodies. We have had the privilege of moving through life fitting in with the dominant paradigms. For some of us, our identities are defined with labels others have put on us, described by words we would not have chosen, but have learned to embrace and make our own. Regardless of what our personal identities are, we all know that navigating the maze of identity labeling can be difficult. What do you call me? What do I call you? Which word or words do I use so I honor all of who you are? How will I know when I've stumbled upon the correct terminology? Will I offend you if I don't always get it right? Why does language matter so much? Where can I buy the official handbook on identity terminology? Words matter. Many of us have labels that do not do justice to our true identities. The words give us power, the power to name ourselves and our identity. This is important. Too often that power is taken away from the oppressed. Too often identity goes unnamed and individuals are left feeling isolated and without community. As a child, it never occurred to me that I wouldn't grow up to be the guy that I am today. I've known my gender since I was in kindergarten, but back then, and as I was growing up, I never heard the word transgender. I saw no reflections of myself in mainstream media or elsewhere in my life. I struggled with how to describe what I knew inside was a truth. My gender wasn't like the two options everyone else fit into. And because I had no language to describe what I knew, I felt very isolated and alone. I had nowhere to go and no one to talk to. It was over a decade later that I learned about the multiplicity of gender and the importance of labels. The words we use to label our identities are sometimes more important than the very identity itself. Language can give us power. It can give us the opportunity to name ourselves and find others like us. But the label is not the end of the journey. This multiplicity of my identity offers a snapshot of who I was, who I am, and who I am becoming. My identity does not exist in isolation because few of us exist in isolation. We seek out communities of people like ourselves, and in those communities we find common language to name ourselves. What I call you and what you call me is not only about the words, the labels. It is about the relationship between who I am, who you are, and who we are together.
My words will be relatively brief this morning. Contrary to what one might think of a person who has my occupation, I don't particularly like to hear myself speak. I probably did at one time, but I'm over that now. It's out of my system. Nowadays, I find myself mostly considering how I can use my voice to lift up other voices. And this is the place where I think our faith community and this great liberal faith tradition is finally at. We are asking, how can other voices be heard? For so long, this lofty tradition that mostly originated with the intelligentsia of New England and the pioneer spirit of colonial America has been associated with a particular kind of person. If we are honest with ourselves, we will question whether any of the trans people we honored earlier this morning would have found a home in one of our UU communities. Could they have been part of this liberal faith tradition that promises to hold them? We do not judge them because of ancient text or belief in a disapproving God. We do not judge them for expressing the reality of who they are. And yet, between their economic backgrounds, life circumstances, and, to be very frank, skin colors, there seems to be a gap between our lack of judging and the possibility of them finding a faith home with us. And so now, in 2019, as we take a very honest and sometimes painful look at ourselves, this liberal faith tradition has been changing its intention and its purpose. Growing pains, for sure. From the 1950s until the last decade of the 20th century, my assessment is that much of Unitarian Universalism was focused on finding like-minded people to share a meaningful community with. But we are now broadening this intention because we have realized that the easiest way to find like-minded people to be with is to find people of similar socioeconomic and racial roles, identities. But our radical faith tradition is about inclusivity, so our methods and our mission have unwittingly sometimes been at odds with each other. We are realizing that we have to draw the circle wider. One way we do that is by paying attention to language. And this can be tough for people who pride themselves on the correct way to speak. I speak from my own identity and knowledge. Language is important when we are talking about identity. This morning we tried to share the stories of those trans lives lost rather than the details of their murders, some so horrible I could and would not describe them from this pulpit. But over and over, I saw how police and family members used the wrong names to describe these victims, ignoring the names they had chosen for themselves. Over and over, I saw how authorities and family had presented the victim with a different gender than the one they had claimed and owned in life. If nothing else gets the idea across that words matter, I hope that that does. How we describe ourselves matters. It can be a matter of life and death. Something happening in progressive circles is that we are beginning to ask one another to share our pronouns when we gather together. When the Unitarian Universalist Association does a workshop, they'll ask you to put your pronouns on your name tag. And I know this can throw people who aren't used to this. You might respond to she and her, or it might be he and him, or more and more people are starting to claim they and them as a singular gender-neutral pronoun, partially because the English language is a little imperfect on having a good option for us when it comes to that. But there's a long history of using they for singular gender-neutral. For people who are cisgender, and we heard this in our opening song, spelled C-I-S, that means a person who has a gender identity that corresponds with the sex the person was assigned or identified with at birth. And I want to thank our music director, Eleanor, because with the permission of the lyricist of the opening song, she actually wrote those new verses for us this morning to be more inclusive. That's part of how we draw the circle wider. We have to be creative. So for someone who is cisgender, this pronoun question can seem odd. Someone who's been a woman all her life and identified as such, it can feel like, of course my pronouns are she and her. Why do I have to put that on my name tag? Same for a cisgender male. But what of all the people who have never felt quite male or female? Sometimes there's a biological and physical component to this, and sometimes it's about brain activity. But more and more, we are seeing people expanding even the definition of trans to include other ideas about gender that no longer fit within the binary of being only male or only female. This is new territory for a lot of people, right? Drawing the circle wider isn't even about fully understanding this new territory, though. I don't really think that it matters that every one of us really understand all the nuances of gender identity available to people. It's not about fully understanding all the pronoun choices that a person might choose from. It's not about full knowledge, which I know for Unitarian Universalists who like a lot of knowledge, that can sometimes be a challenge for us to say, we don't need to actually fully understand or know. This is about respect. Because we probably, our understanding will have to catch up over time. We're respecting in the meantime, as we work to understand better, we're respecting the authority of people in their own lives to identify themselves as they see fit. We're respecting that when someone says their name is one thing, we don't decide that their real name is another. We're respecting that when someone says their pronouns are one thing, we don't decide they are actually another. Now, this doesn't mean we won't make mistakes along the way. That doesn't mean we won't slip up, use the wrong pronoun, say the wrong name, find ourselves confused between our plural theys and our singular theys. We do, and we will apologize. And we keep going. And we do that in the spirit of gratitude and respect. Gratitude because we are held by the history of those who have come before. Names we named this morning. Names we named last year. And so many who remain unnamed, but who have come before and paved the way to this moment. Because we are blessed. Blessed by all those who have come before, all these trailblazers, all those who have shown up to fight for justice, all those who celebrate all the genders in life. This is our calling. This is our prayer. And this acknowledgement, this respect, is how we draw the circle wider.